Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The American pastime.
That ball is going to be out of here!
In real time.
Lindor drives it to deep right. Goodbye! A grand slam!
Baseball stories, scores, and more.
High drive, left field, going back at the wall. See ya! A home run, Aaron Judge. A moonshot.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches. The Eliminator and the Humiliator to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Now here are your hosts for the Hot Corner, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, or it must be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday.
And it has not been a Wednesday for a month, really.
I have never seen a Wednesday in 2022. They don't
You're
exist.
You're not allowed to make those jokes anymore.
They don't exist. But hello, we are here. It is fantastic to be back. I feel like one of those big-time national pundits that, like, when football's over, they disappear for a month.
Yeah.
You know, I felt kind of like that, because there's enough to talk about once the season ends, and then we were like, you know what? I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, you had a couple of weeks that you were not here anyway,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of those we were not going to have shows because of Les Schwab Invitational or
sure.
whatever was going on at the end of December, and the boss was like, do you want to do a show in the middle? I was like, it's the lockout. Like, let's just take a couple of weeks off, see what happens, and we'll be back in January. Well, here we are. We're back in January. Now, we were supposed to be back last week, but,
yes.
You know, somebody had a case of the case of the Rona.
Yeah. That's me. Pick me.
That's you.
Pick me. Buy three, get one free is what I'm calling it. You know, I got three shots in the arm, and then I got Omicron, and I told you I'm the newest Avenger.
Yes, you are.
I am now unstoppable. I could defeat the Hulk. I
could
probably
that,
pick up Thor's hammer if I wanted to.
I don't know if you could do that. Either that or I'm the new Avenger because I was exposed to four people in 2 days and didn't get it. Somehow.
This is what I was saying last Sunday, is that there is something in the mom side of Mike's genes where him and his mother can avoid COVID no matter how many people he comes in contact with. So we need to take a blood sample, put it under the microscope, study it.
Well,
find
I did.
Because
my dad tested positive for the second
right.
time. And my mom, again, didn't get it.
I did read a study from Boston Med,
I don't understand.
They're actual scientists, and that's where I usually get my information on science.
But what do they know?
And they were saying it's like if you have the booster, you have like a 10% chance of getting Omicron. If you have the booster and you've had Omicron, you have like a 2% chance to get it again. So technically, according to math,
you have the better.
I am cooler than Mike Lynch for the first time in a long time. maybe ever, I am cooler than Mike.
I don't know if that's true. You're pretty cool, dude. I'm just a nerd over here who just talks into a microphone. you're the one who can like sing and play instruments and I don't know, like goes out and does cool things, you know, in the outdoors. And I'm just like, I'm going to play Mass Effect.
You know, what's it been like talking into a microphone? Because it's been a long time since I've done this. I don't know how things work.
Nothing's changed. You asked Joe before the show, you're like, is anything different?
And well, we lived a world at the
at
this Odyssey station in which every day was like, okay, so you can do this now, but you can't do that. What? But I could do that yesterday. Yeah, but you can't do it today. But you can do this now. And so we're ready to go.
You are back in the saddle.
I am back in the saddle.
You're back in the one chair.
I'm back in the one chair.
And you are ready to talk about the sport that's not happening.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm here. I'm really excited. We're also back for Beers on Us. Yes. We did a fun little Instagram live session last week while we were both in quarantine. I was sick. Michael was playing hooky.
I was getting a COVID vacation.
And so that's back as well. What the hell's been going on? What have you guys been up to? Because it's been a long time since we've been here together, at least the three of us.
I mean, I've not been up to much. I dodged COVID. I've been worrying about my own, you know, local family here with my girlfriend and both her kids getting it. I had my week off in December. That was nice. I did a little staycation, which is my favorite thing every year, is to just take like 5 days to myself to do whatever the hell I want to do and not worry about anything. And it's amazing and it's glorious and it's a really good reset. And I had my first ever Christmas.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. First ever Christmas. The Jew finally came to the dark side.
Yes.
And came with us pagans who pretend we're religious for 2 days a year to make sure we get presents.
Yep. It was enjoyable. Kids had some fun. They liked gifts I got them, so it was nice.
My biggest thing is I don't have a girlfriend anymore. I'm over it.
Oh, no.
I'm over it. Because she's my fiance.
It's lit.
Wow.
It is lit. Thank you, Travis Scott. Right? Isn't that Travis Scott?
That is.
See who's lit? He's canceled now, right? We hate him.
Because of Astro World.
Yeah, doesn't he kill people? Is that what he does?
He stands over people who are dead.
Oh, yikes.
And doesn't stop his show.
Yeah, so that's cool. I had a good holiday. I spent New Year's by myself in my apartment for the first time, maybe ever.
Because of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucked. However, my new favorite band, Goose, did do a live show, so I was able to watch that in its entirety from the comfort of my couch.
How long is a Goose show? Like 6 hours?
It was 3 hours. Mm. It was great.
Just 3 hours.
How many songs did they play in 3 hours, too?
I think the set list is like 12 songs. But right as midnight hit, they were in the middle of a jam on a song I love called Wisteria Lane. And when midnight hit, they broke into Circle of Life from The Lion King. That was really rad. Yeah, it was really cool. In the circle. It was great, dude. I was really digging it. Of course, the internet blew it up. They were like, these guys suck. Stick to what you know.
Which is jamming for 10 minutes.
I know. It's so funny. I like a lot of jam bands, and the internet culture is so toxic around all of them. It's like Boo. The second they do something, they're like, stick to your lane. And then I saw a bunch of dead fans were posting memes. The side eye, they were like, jam band fans being toxic in their own group. And then the dead fans are just like, weirdos.
Play Hakuna Matata, you sellouts.
So it was great. And it passed the time. I've been watching a lot of baseball documentaries lately. There's one of the newer 30 for 30s is a four part series called Once Upon a Time in Queens. And it's about the 86 Mets.
Gotcha.
And that was excellent.
Yeah,
God, I really enjoyed that.
I'm actually quite excited. So I have ESPN Plus.
Yeah, me too.
And
I think it's on ESPN. Oh, yeah, 30 for 30. Yes, I watch it on ESPN
Plus. Every 30 for 30 is on ESPN Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not necessarily a big documentary guy, sports or otherwise. I really just kind of get bored through documentaries. But I really enjoyed the stories of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my girlfriend, I was like, hey, by the way, these are all available. I know it's sports. Would you be interested in watching these with me? And she was like, yes, absolutely. I love documentaries. So I'm going to at some point go through the 30 for 30s with her and just kind of she'll learn a lot, and I guess I'll get to relive a lot of things that I know about, and it'll be cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm really into that stuff. You know, this show is famous for story time with Uncle Patrick. Was there before Joey Harrington, but he finished second in a Heisman race, so he's cooler.
Does have a pretty sweet first name.
He does. Yeah, that is pretty good. But I can't get enough of it, so I've been like combing and watching things. When it comes to Major League Baseball and the history, I'm all about it. And the Once Upon a Time in Queens was so good because it starts, you know, it's talking about building the team up and how it was created and trading Tom Seaver and all this kind of stuff, and Daryl and Doc and Keith and Lenny Dykstra. And it's funny, Lenny Dykstra the whole time is, when he's being interviewed present day in his house, wasted. Absolutely wasted the entire time. But it was really cool. I really enjoyed it, and I wish there were more more baseball docs out there. I caught Game 7 of the 2016 World Series again. I don't know why I watched it.
Well, it's the same reason why I love watching the 2001 World Series. It's a great World Series.
It's a great World Series.
Doesn't matter if your team lost it. It's still good
to
watch.
Yeah, my team just didn't come out on top, and I've been trying to watch cool things on Major League Baseball Network, but they won't do anything because they are too chicken-esque to do anything.
Yeah, I haven't even tried to go to MLB
Naked
Network.
Gun has been on that channel on repeat. I'm like, are you kidding me? This isn't even really a full baseball movie.
Yeah, they're showing movies in like classic games, right?
Yes. It's quite lame.
It doesn't matter.
It's quite lame.
I've kind of just stopped paying attention until I find out more information because it's really depressing.
Yeah.
And I just want them to come back.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a show for you guys tonight. There's a bunch of stuff to get to. We'll dive into the reason that there is no baseball going on right now. There's a new Sunday Night Baseball situation. If you like the Manning cast, something else is coming down the line. We'll get into that as well. A postseason legend has retired. I feel like we should give him his fair share due. And yes, drawing Mike Trout every day until the lockout is over is something I have been paying attention to. And we'll have to get into that as well. There's the fan text line. 503-250-1080. Is that still it?
That's still it.
Dang, man, I still got it.
You're shaking off all the rust right now.
Still got it.
What do I say again?
Still got it. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, PDD085, and Instagram, Mike's, Mike Lynch 27, Joe Fish 3, F-I-S-C-H, apostrophe, whatever, you know, find us, harass us. We like it. Beers on Us pod dropped tomorrow.
Apostrophe, whatever.
Beers on Us drops tomorrow at 4. We'll do year in review for 2021. That should be a pretty fun one. We're actually going to go record it after this. So that'll be cool. Download that wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app and 1080thefan.com. We come back. Let's give you an update on the lockout and where we sit. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.717 here, Portland Sports Leader. We are live from the Poopville Willamette. It's so nice to be back. So nice to be back. The text line 503-250-1080. It's nice to see so many of you still out there. We appreciate all of you. The Battered Bastards of Baseball. Awesome. Yes, I saw that when it came out like 3-4 years ago. That is very nice. That's why if we ever get a baseball team, Kurt Russell's got to throw out the first pitch.
This text says, another great Daily Lockout Twitter follow is the Batting Stance guy, who I have found before, but I don't follow him. Mm. He did a All-Star game video this year where he did the batting stance of every starter on both All-Star teams.
Ooh.
And it was like perfect. I guess he's doing a daily stance for a player that wore the number for that day.
So it's the amount of days of the lockout.
Yeah, it's like day 34 of the lockout.
Oh, I see. Well, I hope it gets to 99 because I'd love to see him do Aaron Judge.
Yes. And then that would be the last one he could do.
Because he's got, Judge has got a pretty, obvious batting stance.
It's pretty
specific.
Simple. It's pretty simple.
I don't know. I think when I see it, though, I'm just like, whoa, that's a huge man. Pinstripes must be Aaron Judge.
Well, right. But it's not the stance that makes you say that. It's the fact that he's like 6'7 or whatever it is.
I knew this girl in college who could do any Mariner. She was like, name a Mariner. And I was like, Joey Cora.
My brain went to a different place.
I know. I was like, Joey Cora, boom, show me the stance. Went, oh, wow, that really is it. And I was like, easy one, Griffey. She was like, did it. I was like, whoa. Left side, everything, did it. Mm-hmm. It was impressive. There was a time when I was a kid, I remember I got a Sports Illustrated, or it might have been ESPN the magazine. Remember ESPN the magazine? That thing was really cool when it first came out.
I do. I, for a couple of years, got both SI and ESPN magazine, and I tried to read both of them,
mm-hmm.
like, regularly,
mm-hmm.
and boy, I fell so far behind.
Oh, not me. It was cover to cover day I got it.
Well, SI came every week.
Oh, right.
And then ESPN was once a month, I think. But I remember I had a second job, and I remember sometimes there would be some slow times, and they would let me, like, bring something to read while I was waiting for the next thing to come. And I would just bring my pile of magazines, and I would, like, get through half of it. And I'm like, I fell so far behind. And I was like, I was doing it sort of for this job. I was like, if I can kind of soak in all of this random stuff that they're telling me or these cool stories,
mm-hmm.
it'll benefit me. I got so far behind. I was like, there's no way.
I've got like a photo album somewhere that has all the covers for like 3 or 4 straight years of the ESPN magazine.
Wow.
That I just cut out and put in each page. And it's so fun looking back on those covers because of some of the preseason predictions, mm-hmm. and just who they thought were going to be stars, great teams, and just going back on those and be like, nope, that didn't work out at all. Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, yep, that didn't work out one bit.
There was I'll never forget this one. I would love to go find it because I'd like probably frame it and put it up in my house. But there was this one I got. I was probably 14 to 16 to 17, somewhere in that range. And it was a centerfold, and it folded out. And it was like it pinpointed step by step breaking down Alex Rodriguez's swing.
Mm.
He was in Texas at the time, so it must have been post 2001. So
this
must have been
SI or ESPN.
I think it's ESPN. And if he's in Texas, I was 16 or 17, something like that. And I remember I pulled it out of the magazine. I like ripped it out of the magazine and I taped it to the fence in the backyard. And I just stood there and tried to like copy his swing. Cause as I'm getting older and looking back on stuff, I forget how much I loved him when he was young in Texas and Seattle before I kind of knew steroids and being a jerk and stuff like that. But I would just stare at it and try to copy his swing. The only difference is he's an athlete and I'm not, so I never nailed it down. But that was one of my favorite things to ever think about, was just watching him, learning how he swung, because I always thought it was so pretty, so smooth.
I think that's one of the saddest things for me that's happened over the last few years in sports is the death of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, magazines in general.
Well, sure, but the entirety of that company is gone. Like,
yeah.
It was sold and turned into like this bite-sized piece, like Bleacher Reporty kind of site. And they still had a couple of writers who were really talented. But I remember just being completely engrossed in really well-written stories on a weekly basis that were about things I wouldn't have normally cared about. But I feel like that kind of reporting is going further and further away.
Yeah.
We're not getting as many of those deep pieces, which is why I think The Athletic is so good.
I know.
It's certainly worth the price that you have to pay for it.
Although I'm worried about The Athletic.
They did just sell.
I know.
Although everyone who works there seems excited about it, so who knows. But I know. Like, that's the place that still does the deep reporting and like the good like human pieces. The stuff that Jason Quick likes to do, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, like really kind of learn about the person and kind of get some cool stories from family members or friends or something like that. I mean, I remember, like, especially during the Olympics, I'm not a big Olympics guy, but SI was just like all over the Olympics when it was happening. And you really learned a lot of really cool stories about a lot of cool, interesting athletes just from that, even though I don't watch the Olympics or didn't care to, it was still really fun to watch or read. And I'm really sad that we've lost that.
Yeah, The Athletic has been a really nice breath of fresh air. I mean, I love their the pieces they get from athletes, you know, like Jeter had one for his retirement and things like that. I really kind of like that stuff, you know, or the lovable bow tie, Ken Rosenthal. Thank God he still has a job there because that's where he can really do his good work,
yep.
you know, and So that's cool. It is too bad. Yeah, I always remember ESPN Magazine, Rick Riley on the back cover.
You know,
that was always like the fun piece. I always wanted to read it first because it was like funny and goofy and silly. But I always, that was like the dessert. You got done with the magazine, and then you got the Rick Riley funny thing at the end.
Yeah, that is true. I forgot about that.
Side note, if I had an MVP vote in the NBA right now, I might vote for DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
He's been great. Major League Baseball is still in a lockout. We are on day, what, 30-something right now?
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're going to meet tomorrow for the first time in about 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
Well, the first time since the lockout started. They have not talked to each other since the lockout began.
And they are the greatest example of an abusive relationship where two partners cannot get away from each other. Because they do this to each other all the time, and then they keep coming back to each other, and I don't get it.
Well, I mean, there's money to be made. That's why.
Yeah,
it's like one of them makes a lot of money, and the other one doesn't want to give it up. So, we're gonna stay in this marriage and figure it out because I want that money.
And that's really where it is right now. It is an economic thing. Major League Baseball wants to expand playoffs. Major League Baseball wants to put in a floor, like a salary floor.
Yeah.
And I don't think. Major League Baseball.
I'm for that, by the way.
I'm definitely for that, too. But the biggest thing that Major League Baseball players want is they want to be paid when they're young, you know? And I think if and the reality is, you know, it's service time and arbitration, all this stuff. The reality is if I were MLB owners, I would want that, too. Like, how many times do we see Albert Pujols, Robinson Cano, like these contracts that are huge, and by the time they're over, you're like, yeah, we suck, but, you know, Albert Pujols is making $36 million a year, which is why we've seen all the young guys take the early contracts, the Acuñas, the Bregmans of the world.
I don't know if the MLB would want that because the MLB wants control more than anything else. Like that's why they want the service time manipulation. That's why they want the arbitration process because the owners want to keep their thumb on their great young players and pay them pennies compared to their value based on these systems that are still in place.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I think they want to tie up these players,
mm-hmm.
but they want to get them on the cheap because that's what they've been doing.
Right.
Like they're like, I don't want to lose this. I can get, what's a good example? I mean, some of these guys have signed deals, but like I can get Mike Trout for 6 years before we have to pay him.
Chris Bryant is a free agent right now.
Yeah. I mean, I can get any of these players until they hit their true free agency. I can pay them nothing.
Shane Bieber is a Cy Young winner, and I believe he is slated to make $475,000 next year.
Correct. And, you know, arbitration does pay
the athletes. Arbitration is great.
Is it great?
It's not great. It's like, but it's the closest thing to, like, franchising. So in the sense that you do get paid your value. By unbiased arbitrator.
You get paid your value based on what someone else says, not based on, like, I'm going to sign a contract that will pay me a gajillion dollars because I'm really good.
This is true, but if Shane Bieber goes to arbitration tomorrow, he's going to make 16, 17 mil instead of 475,000.
Right.
That's a better situation.
But if he wasn't going to arbitration. But
if he was on the free agent market, he'd make 28 a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, it is not the worst thing in the world for the players, but what it does is it continues to keep. Whoa. You okay?
Are you live over there, Joe?
Wow. thought the mic was off there. A little sneezy over here. Playing the trumpet.
Boy, that made me completely lose my train of thought.
No, it's okay. It's
the owners want to just keep these players under their thumb for that little money. I mean, $16 million is still better than paying him a 10-year contract.
Right. So we'll see how that goes.
Players want more control over their careers. Owners want more control or want to keep the control that they have.
And sports is such a funny thing. I mean, the NBA, they're the ones that have kind of figured it out to an extent. Because the NFL, almost none of your money for the majority of players is guaranteed. You get hurt, you're done. Baseball, your contracts are guaranteed, but You got to perform for 5-6 years before you can get paid. And then everyone's like, well, I don't know. That JD Martinez guy might not be worth it. Yeah, it's strange. But there's no real new news when it comes to lockout.
Oh, we have no news. The only news is they're meeting tomorrow. But I assume that tomorrow we'll find out some of the talking points or what was brought up or whatever, or how cordial it is. I mean, what's kind of baffling to me about this is we talked about this pre-lockout. You said, when are you going to start to get worried?
Mm-hmm.
Was the question you asked. And I said, February.
Yeah. I'm about 2 weeks away.
Like mid-February is when I begin to worry, because spring training begins what? February 28th?
Something like that. 26th? Pitchers and catchers report a couple weeks early.
Late February. If you're that close to that and you have made no headway at all, that's a scary situation. So I'm frustrated that we're at January 13th tomorrow and it's the first time they're going to meet. We've been in a lockout for over a month.
Well, it's the second time they've met, because the first time they met lasted 10 minutes.
I'm saying since the lockout.
Oh, gotcha.
December 2nd at midnight is when the lockout began. Since then, they have not talked.
Right. I think tomorrow is probably perfect timing.
Hello?
Because you're saying you're going to be worried around February.
Mid-February.
Yeah. Tomorrow is going to really tell us where our worry level is.
I hope it tells us. I hope it's not just, they met and they'll meet again at some point. Like, I hope it's not just blasé.
Hey, if they say that, though, that's a positive thing. Hey, they met, they talked about some stuff, and they are going to meet next week. That tells me, hey, this is what we want, this is what we want. Okay, we're not saying no. We're not saying yes. Let's think about it. We'll reconvene. That's a step in the right direction.
But these two sides hate each other.
I know, but they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out.
That's true, because
they can't live without the other.
The players are going to lose money, but you know who else is going to lose money? The owners.
Yeah, they can't live without the other.
They can't do that.
So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll report back next week on what things like that work out. How things like that work out. God, I suck at this job. When we come back, let's take the lockout to a little more fun. Have you seen the amateur drawings of Mike Trout?
The Mona Lisa-esque
drawings of Mike Trout.
Should be hanging in the Louvre.
They are absolutely fantastic. And let's get into some fun with the lockout. We'll do that next. But first, there's my man Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll have Fair or Foul at 8:30. And ESPN's launching a new thing that should be a little bit of fun. Maybe. Or maybe you hate it. I'll be interested in your opinion on that, Mike.
Of all of us, I would be the best one to have an opinion on it.
Yeah, maybe. Or those of us that aren't as biased as you are might have an interesting opinion as well. We'll see. I've got a cool story to tell you about during my quarantine with the Mannings.
Okay.
I'll tell you that in the second hour. But
were you hallucinating them in front of you?
I was not hallucinating. But something fun that's been going on. I am a heavy Reddit user.
As am I. It is my like go-to if I'm just bored or just like scrolling. Reddit's like number one.
It is my number one. It's the first thing I look at in the morning other than like emails or notifications, things like that.
It's second behind Twitter for me. I usually see what's new on Twitter and then go right to Reddit.
Yeah. So Reddit is my number one. Joe, how much of a Reddit guy are you?
Oh, big time.
Big time? Yeah, is that your number one?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a big time guy too. I'm always afraid that if I ever get banned from Reddit and have to create a new account, I have no idea like where to start.
Yeah, love me
feel like it. It's like my Spotify. Like, I feel like I'm so dialed in.
You've got it exactly
how
you want. Yeah,
that it's like, don't touch it. My algorithm might be an algorithm, but it makes me happy.
It's like during football season, after every Saturday, college football Saturday, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, I go to the college football subreddit and just browse everything. See if I miss anything, what's happened, little highlights, funny things that happened. Same thing with NFL Sundays. Go through that. It's a great, like, it's money.
See, that's so funny because I do not use Reddit for sports that much.
I don't use it for sports either.
Yeah. I follow baseball subreddits and, like, the Guardians and stuff like that, but it's, like, my break from sports.
Honestly, Reddit for me is, like, how I keep up on what's pop culture right now.
But is it great for sports, Joe, though? You 100% like it?
100%. Love it. Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of things. I mean, you can get a lot on Twitter, obviously, and just from watching the games, but I feel like I miss some things, and then I go on Reddit, and it's got a link to a tweet or video or something like that.
Is it more or less irrational than Twitter? Because you know how Twitter can deep end real quick.
I feel like it's very rational.
All right.
They'll post a video, and then the comments will call out the hypocrisy or ridiculousness of what just happened, and so I feel like it's actually pretty level-headed.
I do often find that Reddit comments, unless on a controversial post, are very enjoyable to read. There's a lot of jokes, mm-hmm. a lot of people like adding on to jokes of other people. Mm-hmm. But if it's a controversial topic, it's an S show. So it's kind of, it's better than Twitter in that sense, because Twitter is always an S show.
Always an S show. Well, the reason I bring this up is that there is a fine gentleman on Reddit who is posting a drawing of Mike Trout every day until the lockout is over. And bless this human being, when I first saw it, I thought to myself, oh, this will last about 10 days.
I know, right?
But no, nope. He's still going strong. I see it on my feed. I've upvoted it enough that the algorithm knows to make sure that I see the drawing every single day. Some of them are great. Some of them are not so great.
Some of them are really weird.
Some of them are really weird. Some of them are throwbacks to like fancy, famous paintings and such. I, for one, am all in on this. And what I love about it, and then you guys just told me that it's now on the Reddit popular side, that even non-baseball fans are seeing it.
So the way I view Reddit is I have my home feed with this like stuff I follow, but generally I just go to popular and just scroll it.
And I am just my home. I never go to popular.
And it's like always on popular is the new Mike Trout drawing.
And that's awesome. And I think what's really awesome about it is it's a nice lighthearted view of a really crappy situation for us diehard baseball fans. But it's actually, in a weird way, promoting the best player in baseball that a lot of people don't know is the best player in baseball.
I know.
And that I am all for, once again.
I think there's one up, by the way, where he is, it's either Mike Trout riding the bike or Shohei Ohtani riding the bike.
And he has thrown Shohei Ohtani in a couple of these.
And there's an ET basket with a blanket over him, and the other one is the ET.
Well, there's this one I'm looking at right now of basically Mike Trout as a giant eating Jose Altuve.
I think there's one of him just fishing and catching trout.
I think I saw one of him with a baseball bat standing over somebody he looks to have beaten up, and it's Mike Trout on the ground. But it's great because, you know, like the number one thing people are always complaining about, oh, baseball doesn't market itself very well. Da, 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 da. And I know this isn't a baseball marketing campaign, but this is the best thing I've ever seen about Mike Trout not related to him playing on the field. Like, yeah, it really is.
I'm just going through some of these photos and just some of the pop culture references.
Yeah, it's great. I really liked the screen painting one. And they're crude drawings, but I see what he's getting at.
Yeah, they're really like, he probably does them in like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'll wake up in the morning and do a quick little thing.
I hope he doesn't have like a bunch on backlog.
There's so many that I miss. There's the one him crawling through the vents like Die Hard.
Yes, with the lighter. That was so good. That was on Christmas.
Oh,
I think that was
God.
The Christmas one. Yeah, it's so great. Like, why not? I mean, I feel like if the NFL were in a lockout, you know, NFL fans are going to melt down. Okay. The NBA's had a couple lockouts, but NBA fans are probably going to borderline meltdown. Hockey fans are going to lose their S. Us over here in baseball, we're like, labor war? We're used to this. So I'm kind of glad that somebody's brought something to our attention, like Mike Trout.
Did you see the one from yesterday?
Probably. I see it every day.
I don't know this reference, if it is a reference, but it's the one where he's facing Rob Manfred and they're both wearing like space masks and Rob Manfred's holding a shake weight and there's a tube connecting the two masks. I don't know if that's a reference to something, but I thought it was the strangest one that he's drawn so far.
Today was
the baseball bat one.
Day 40, and it's Mike Trout standing over Mike Trout, and Mike Trout's dead.
Oh, he came in like a wrecking ball on day 35.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I liked that one.
So you see yesterday's?
Yeah.
What is that?
I have no idea. They're like in a bubble on their head, but their tubes are connected to talk to each other.
And Rob Manfred's holding a shake weight.
Yeah.
Or using a shake weight.
Currently operating a shake weight.
What I loved about the first few picks.
What we all need to see is Rob Manfred operating a shake weight.
Yeah, right. The first few pictures, people would comment on how thick he was making Mike Trout look, like his legs and his
just
like
giant
and his glutes, and just like, damn, he is thick.
Oh, he did a SpongeBob reference where he did the
Squidward,
the fancy Squidward painting.
See, that's what I'm saying. Did Ziggy Stardust on one?
I did see that. I think it was the anniversary of David Bowie's death, which was a couple days ago.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that, make sure to find that because that'll make things happy for you.
By the way, Mike Trout is ET. Shohei Ohtani is riding the bike.
There you go. I like that.
And another, I don't know if you saw the one where Shohei Ohtani is being held by him, like on the edge of the Titanic.
Yes, I did see that one as well. I love that Shohei makes guest appearances in this. Even though they like played like five games together.
It was not Mike Trout fishing for a trout. It was a trout fishing for Mike Trout.
There you go.
And this is leading me down the road of NFTs here. That's how this guy makes some money.
Yeah, can we get these NFT'd? Like, that'd be excellent. I might buy one, especially the ET. If Shohei's riding the bike and he's in the basket, I love it. All right, when we come back, somebody retired from baseball today, and usually we don't always talk about this stuff, but we like postseason. This guy's got some accolades. When we come back, we'll dive into that. This is Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
New options for Sunday Night Baseball. We'll get to that in the second hour here on the Hot Corner. 503-250-1080 lets you interact with us throughout this entire show. Jump on board. We appreciate it. Mike, somebody that you're probably excited to not play baseball anymore retired.
Yeah, I guess that would be a way to put it.
I mean, I have to imagine you aren't the biggest fan of John Lester.
No, I am not the biggest fan of John Lester. I mean,
I have issues with John Lester.
Time will make the heart grow fonder, and he has not been a Red Sox for quite some time. So I've kind of went from disliking John Lester to not caring about John Lester. And so that's kind of where I sit at the moment. But yeah, I did once very much despise him.
Yeah, I find John Lester such an interesting baseball player as we look back on it. And if we can pretend to fast forward 20 years and we're sitting around talking to him and someone says John Lester. John Lester is somewhere like a Curt Schilling, Andy Pettit kind of guy. Not the most phenomenal regular season stats, but when you saw him on the mound in the postseason, you were kind of like, ah, crap.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, I think Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame, personally, is my opinion. Pettit is
busted. Does not sound like he will get in.
Yeah, Pettit is busted because of steroids, and Lester, just not a sexy player. But, I mean, the guy won three World Series for the Red Sox and the Cubs.
200 wins.
Go 20 years ago and say, yeah, there's going to be this guy. He's a cancer survivor. He's going to win three World Series for the Red Sox and the Cubs, and you'll get laughed out of the building.
That's true.
20 years ago, they're like,
rubble, rubble, rubble.
But here he is. One of my favorite memories of John Lester, which is a really funny thing, and it's so not fair, is he was traded from the Red Sox to Oakland. And Oakland made the wild card game, and I believe they were playing the Kansas City Royals.
Wasn't that the very first wild card game?
Yeah, and the one game wild card, and they totally should have beat Kansas City. They were way better than them, and Lester got absolutely lit in that game, and Oakland traded for him just for that game. They traded Yoenis Cespedes for him.
I thought the Royals came back in that game. I was pretty sure the Royals scored like 6 runs in the last 2 innings.
Well, he threw...
Wild card game?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Royals definitely came back in that one.
He threw 7 innings, but he had a 7.36 ERA.
So he must have given it up like in the 7th.
Yeah,
because I remember it was like, I think Oakland was winning like 5-1, and it was the 7th or 8th, and it was like, oh, no, that's it. And then the Royals just charged all the way
back. Bob Melvin was like, keep him in. Billy Beane was like, you better keep him in. You know what I paid for that guy? and then obviously in 2016, I saw him pitch in the World Series, which was pretty cool.
Oh, is he game one starter?
He's game one.
And you went to game one.
Yeah.
And two?
Lester Kluber. Game two is Bauer Hendricks. Right?
You went to game two, right?
Yes, one and two.
Yeah.
And Lester pitched really well in game one. He gave up a home run to Roberto Perez, and then the bullpen gave up another home run to Roberto Perez, and that's all she wrote.
Well, I mean, I've been saying it in my updates all day. 2.5 ERA or 2.51 ERA in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. 17 postseason series and a 2.51 ERA. That's really, really, really good.
That's pretty good.
Like, this most recent generation's one of the best postseason pitchers that we've had. He's not Madison Bumgarner.
No.
Nobody is. But he is up there for one of the guys that was like, yeah, if you got John Lester in the playoffs, you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, so it'll be, you know.
He's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
No. That goes back to that classic argument. Is John Lester a Hall of Famer? No. And the answer is no.
I don't even think it's an It's like, is John Lester a Hall of Famer? No.
But I do love his postseason. Who would you rather have on the mound in the postseason? Curt Schilling, John Lester, or Andy Pettit?
I mean, it's really hard for me to go against Pettit.
Right.
But probably Schilling, to be honest
with you. I think the answer is Schilling, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Pettit, and he was amazing in the playoffs, and, you know, the little glare over the top of the glove, but
he just looked like a Yankee.
Yeah, he did.
And God, he just looked like a Yankee.
But Schilling,
staring you down.
Schilling was so good in the playoffs. I would have to go Schilling, yeah, as much as I dislike him.
503-250-1080. The first thing I think about when John Lester is mentioned is when he gets the yips and can't throw to first base.
Is that a thing that happened to
that
him?
Is a big thing, dude. People would run on him because he was just like, I'm not throwing
to
first.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm not going to do it.
They could just steal on him for days.
Yeah, and everybody knew, and he was just like, I'm not going to throw.
Yeah, I can't do it. They're going to get to second if I throw to first anyway.
Yeah,
so just let him go.
Yeah. Let's prevent them from getting to third. I mean, could I steal on John Lester?
This text says, Royals came back twice. It was the bullpen's fault the second time.
I see.
He said, A's were running with ALDS, traded Cespedes, and they fell to the wild card game. God, being an A's fan sucks.
I'd be a Portland A's fan any day of the week, buddy. Just letting you know that.
Is that your official decision?
If Portland got a team, I would be a fan for sure.
Well, but you talked about, I was like, would you give up on the Guardians? And you were always kind of on the fence about it.
You know, I have an answer.
Sounds pretty definitive.
I have an answer for if I would give up on the Guardians.
And?
You'll have to wait till the season starts.
Oh, so that means you've already given up on the Guardians.
No. Not at all. Doesn't mean anything.
I mean, if I'm waiting until the season starts.
Well, yeah, it's part of the big reveal.
Okay.
After we're going to do our previews and stuff, we'll have John on, and I've got something to say about being a Guardians fan.
You're going to have like a hat on that day that's a different team, and you're going to turn into that team's fan?
We'll see, man. You'll have to show up, Mike.
I mean, I'll be here.
Okay, well, then you'll find out then.
I mean, that's a great tease, but I'm frustrated because that's a long time from now.
Sorry, man. What if it doesn't happen? What if there's no season and you have to wait till next year?
I'll just pin you down so you tell me.
You are twice my size. That would happen.
Yes.
That would happen. All right, stick around. We got a loaded second hour. We'll be right back. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.